Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from Romans 8, starting with verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, recently, a two-year-old boy in Georgia had an extraordinary experience. You see, Kanan Newsom was born deaf. And recently, in March, his parents had the doctors do a cochlear implant surgery. And just 2 weeks ago, they were finally able to turn on those implants. For the first time, he could connect the sound to the movement of her lips when his mom said, "I love you." His face was so happy. He could understand them all. A whole new world of meaning was open to him now. God has something amazing in mind for us, even more amazing than hearing for the first time. And that amazing thing is at the end of a process that he began before time was even created, before the world was even created. God chose us in Christ. He justified us in Christ. And he glorified us in Christ. Now, Paul says that God chose us in Christ. Think about how amazing that is. He didn't just choose us to hear his word and receive faith. That's amazing enough in and of itself. Through God's powerful word, that same word that created the entire universe, God wrought faith in our hearts. He reached into my life and your life and changed our hearts from stone cold dead to sin to alive in Christ, not by force, but by the gentle preaching of the good news that Christ died for us. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Nothing but whitewashed evil came out from our sinful selfishness. And yet Jesus deigned to come near us. God chose us to live among us sinners, not just tolerating our behavior and messed up motivations, but taking even the worst upon himself, sacrificing himself for us, and paying for our sins with his own precious body and blood. Before the world was even created, God knew us, for he knows all things. He knew us and predestined us. This is a truth that Paul wants us to be able to apply to ourselves. It's not for us to ask about others. So think to yourself, God predestined me. He picked me because he loved me even before I was conceived. Paul wants you to know this truth, not so that your head explodes trying to figure it out, but Paul wants us to dwell on the fact that we cannot goof it up. God justified us in Christ, and nothing we do or fail to do can change any of that. He justified us in Christ. That means that in God's sight, we are righteous, perfect, without any flaws. Has God lost his mind? How could he think that I am perfect? How could he think that a criminal is perfect and ready for paradise? How could he think a terrorist like Simon the Zealot, or a braggart like Peter, or even a murderer like Paul is righteous and perfect? God justified us in Christ. It's not because God overlooked something. God justified us in Christ. Because of Jesus' perfect life and innocent sacrificial death, God counts what Jesus did to me as though I had done it, as though you had done it, because Jesus took our place under God's wrath. Jesus became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's amazing. That's the very good news that gave us faith in God and changed us forever. You and I, we are ready for heaven in Christ. Looking forward to living in righteousness and purity forever with him, once the Spirit has finished his blessed work of burning away that old Adam. All because he chose us in Christ before time even began, called us by the gospel, gathered us for the sacraments, enlightened and sanctified us. That's amazing. Paul also goes on with more good news. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God glorified us in Christ. He has made manifest a hidden quality in us through Christ. Now let's make sure that we don't think that there is some hidden quality in us that deserved God's predestining grace. That's not what he's saying here. Paul is saying that we are in Christ and that there is something hidden there that God has made manifest. God did not just glorify us in our earthly lives. Yes, the Lord has brought something otherwise invisible out of his Christians in their daily lives. That's why Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Certainly, as believers, we are reflections of Christ's glory or his hidden majesty and love for us. But there's more to it. God glorified us in Christ. God has revealed something about us who are in Christ. God has made manifest that we are not just a step above the animals. We are co-heirs with Christ. Christ didn't just save us, but he has lifted us up to loftier positions than even the holy angels. God considers us to be his own children. Who can even imagine what that means? It's surpassing glory that we shall revel in all the days of eternity. Fell redeemed. That's amazing. This whole mysterious process that Paul describes might leave us thinking and wondering whether he is so heavenly minded that he is of no earthly good. But we have to go back to the scripture and see how Paul actually introduces these words. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." It would never have occurred to little Canaan Newsome to want to actually hear. He never experienced it before and didn't know what it would be like. But his parents, out of love, asked the doctors to do the surgery and gave him an amazing gift. Likewise, our Heavenly Father has given us an amazing gift. We would never have known what is even possible for God to do for us. His goodness far exceeds all our understanding, and consequently, in our Christian lives, we don't even know what to pray for most of the time. We think that we know what will be good for us and for others, but often we don't. But God, the Holy Spirit, knows. He marvels at us who are his glorious new creation, and he asks the Father for better things for us, better than we can possibly imagine. A whole new heaven and earth are opening to us, though we haven't seen them, an eternity of God's goodness in Christ for you. Why fear? Why worry? Why be downcast? Let us live with Christ all this in mind, fearless in God's strength, telling the world of the goodness, the mercy of Christ, confident in his grace, knowing that our sins are forgiven. Joyfully looking forward to each day, even in the midst of this temporary hardship. God says, "I love you." How amazing is that? May he grant us to know the surpassing glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.